The reading is taken from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, starting from verse 10, found on page 1196 on your pew Bibles. 1196. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was kind of Simon to say that he wanted our chat time to stop to give me adequate time, but you can take it from me. I shall be taking my time, and therefore, however long you want to talk, it's your time you're eating into. Could be quite late, but that's, you know, you were good. You were good. Isn't the Bible out of date? And as Simon said, it's the first of our series on the Bible, so we're just looking at one aspect of it tonight. Isn't the Bible out of date? An accusation which is made by many. I suspect it's made a little bit tongue-in-cheek by people who've never bothered to read it and just want to have a good excuse to say, oh, Bible, it's out of date. What I want to do tonight is to demonstrate as best I can that that is totally untrue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Scriptures. Thank you for these many pages that are breathed on by you, written by men, but inspired by you. Father, help us in these next few weeks to get a real grip and a real feel for and a love for your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't the Bible out of date? And I don't want to be rude about the person who set this series out, but it really is quite a silly question. Bestsellers. I got my Google operating, and what do I find? Two books have had sales of 1 billion plus. The figures are all give or take hundreds of millions. They don't seem too sure. Certainly, Thoughts of Chairman Mao, there's a lot of doubt as to how many have been sold. But the Bible is well ahead, even of Chairman Mao. Well ahead. Sales well over the billion mark, whichever index you look at. And then, very quickly, after a few other Chinese books that I couldn't tell you what they were all about, because it was all written in Chinese, you get down then to A Tale of Two Cities, the next major book we would all know. How many? 200 million. A billion, 2 billion short of the sales of the Bible, this irrelevant book. 150 million, we're into the Scouts Handbook. Why are you laughing? Scout's Handbook and Lord of the Rings. 150 million. The Bible, well north of 1 billion. Irrelevant? Out of date? Many people have risked their lives to get the Bible to those in disadvantaged places. Certainly those who are a little older in the congregation will recall well the days when China wouldn't have the Bible at all. You'd be sent to jail there if you were seen with a Bible. And people risk their lives with false bottoms to cars and all sorts of things. Brother Andrew was the famous one, wasn't he? In order to get Bibles into China. They risked their life if they were found. And the people who actually got the Bibles when they were in China, they also risked their lives to read them. But there was a great yearning. People in China wanted the Bible. Why? Irrelevant? I discovered, and I hadn't realised this, that numbers of languages were actually put into writing in order that people might have an opportunity to read the Bible. So tribes all around the place could converse with each other, they could speak, but they'd never actually had set down in writing those words. And people set to put those words down in writing in order that they could translate the Bible and give it to those individuals. Very powerful. One of the things I remember most is a chap who was queuing to get into the capital of world football. If Peter Sanderson were here, he'd disagree with me, but he's not here, so I can speak freely. But that's Everton. Everton Football Club, just on the outskirts of, I don't like mentioning the word Liverpool, but that's where it's based. And this chap was queuing to get in, and a bloke with a sandwich board, you know, one of these things round the neck with a text on the front and a text on the back, was just walking slowly up and down that queue. And the chap slowly in the queue, getting towards the turnstile, saw the verse on his back. Front, back, front, back. Unfortunately, I don't remember what the text was. I'm sure it wasn't "the end is nigh." But those Bible verses, or one of those Bible verses, struck him so hard as he was queuing to go into this soccer match that he came to our church the following day. And shortly after became a very active Christian. Why? Because a verse was on that sandwich board. A very brave man walking up and down doing that, I must say. I remember a few times in our youth group, we went to the local bus terminus and started to just get involved in conversation, do a little bit of preaching. And it was a bit nerve-wracking. But this chap just solidly walked up and down that queue, and because of it, that one man became a Christian. Out of date? Did he become a Christian? Did he actually get involved because it was irrelevant? Of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. That verse hit him, and hit him where it hurt. Some of the oxygen folk are walking about in Kingston, just getting involved in discussion and getting involved with letting people know what the Bible says. The Bible has got relevant texts, relevant verses, I believe, for every situation that we might face today. And let's be quite clear about this. Fashions change, habits change, lifestyles change, but man and God don't change. Isn't that true? Let's have a bit of fun. Fashions change. Now, what would Queen Victoria have thought? I mean, she's looking there fairly critically at at current dress sense. And I must say, although our vicar has written a book on jokes and so on for preachers, the one I remember most of all in this church, and those of you who know Dennis Colby, who's down at the moment on our need for prayer because he's not well, who is a wonderful man of God, knows the Bible Simon may be able to match him, but I doubt whether anyone else could. His knowledge of the Bible is fantastic. He's a good man. He's a retired accountant. And it's quite sombre, his approach, and statesmanlike. And he was preaching here one Sunday morning, and suddenly, in the middle of this exposition, he said, sermons are like miniskirts. What? Dennis, miniskirts? He said, they must be long enough to cover the essentials, but short enough to remain interesting. And we just fell off our seats, coming from Dennis. That's got absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but it was too good to miss. Fashions change. Things change. Most of us are happy to get into a car and turn the ignition on. I can remember the days where people got out the front and did this with a handle. Yes, a few of the older generation all smiling. They remember. And the frustration of people out in the rain and the cold of a morning trying to get this wretched car to start. Things change. Things change. Living accommodation changes. People then, and in some places around the world, still do live in that right-hand picture, but most of us are far used to the left-hand picture. Things change. Our whole lifestyles change. But what we've got to do, I believe, when we get hold of this Bible and read it, is to say, what is it? What is it that people who read the particular statement that was made, the letter that was written in the case of Paul, what is it they understood in their day when they read those words? Not what do you and I understand today. You see, here's a wonderful one, and Leviticus gets a real clattering from so many people nowadays. If any clothing is contaminated with mildew, any woolen or linen clothing, any woven or knitted material of linen or wool, any leather, anything made of leather, and if the contamination in the clothing or leather or woven or knitted material or any leather article is greenish or reddish, it is a spreading mildew and must be shown to the priest. Now, if you want to be critical of the Bible, is it relevant today? You'd say, relevant today? Mildew? I'm just going to interrupt what I'm saying just for a moment. We have very modestly sitting in the seats here tonight a dear lady who says very little about what she does. But Jean Watson there is about to head off to China yet again, having retired I don't know how many times. But you can take it from me, if you get involved anywhere with people who are involved in leprosy work and say you know Jean Watson, I'm sorry, I'm embarrassing her now, they will look boggle-eyed at you and say, you know Jean Watson. She is a world authority on leprosy. I'm just going to ask her to say something for a couple of minutes about just that one verse that I tugged out of Leviticus and said, fashions change, is it relevant today? But, Jean, would you just like to just say, well, a little bit about mildew and relevance, oh, whatever you'd like.
So, Glyn just asked me to say, is it relevant today? And so much that's discussed in Leviticus and in the Bible about people who are outcast in Leviticus is still very much relevant today. I think people where I'm working, they are certainly outcast. People who had leprosy in China are feared and isolated very much, but it's also other disabled people are. People who had leprosy are feared, other disabled people are often sidelined, and there's no such thing as rehabilitation for most of them. But I think also people here, there are a lot of people here also that are sidelined in different ways, and I just think that it's what this passage tells us is see how the Lord would have you help people who are your neighbours, who are sidelined. Pray, find out what ways they are sidelined and just what the Lord wants you to do to help them, because I think the Lord's got special jobs for each one of us, and it's a great adventure in life to find out and then follow.
Yeah, you see, in those days, I thought this referred to leprosy, which, of course, was the plague of the day. Anything to stop leprosy spreading, they would do. Jean tells me that's probably what they thought in those days, but we've now discovered that mildew doesn't cause leprosy, but it does cause lots of skin diseases and so on. But let's not be judgmental. Things change. Things change. I bow. It does cover leprosy as well. It does cover leprosy as well. Now, but look, fashions change, habits change, but man doesn't. Man doesn't. Adam and Eve, disobedience, hiding from God, excuses, deception. Ring any bells relevant today? Cain and Abel, their two sons. Jealousy, murder. Relevant today? News, television, newspapers. David, looking down the road, roof of a house just down the way, attractive lady. Adultery. Relevant today? Jonah, bless him, good old Jonah. Go to Nineveh, said God. Oh, I'd rather try Tarshish, says Jonah. It's a bit like John O'Groats and Land's End. God saying go one way and he goes the opposite. Total disobedience. Relevant today? And just moving into the New Testament, it's just a story I happen to know and like, Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. That was when the early church was selling all the property they had and putting the money into the church. It was when the church was absolutely booming along. And that's what people were doing. And Ananias and Sapphira, well, I was going to say did that. Sort of did that. They sold the property, handed the money over, but not all of the money. And then they lied and said, oh, yes, that's what we got. That was the money we got. They paid a dreadful price for it. But in the world we're in today, does that ring bells? Property deals, lying, people being swindled. This is all coming from the book that is irrelevant in the eyes of numbers of people. This book is a book that talks of right and wrong. It's a book that talks about man and God. Man doesn't change, God doesn't change. Let's get that quite clear in our minds, because once we've got to that point and got rid of the habits and the fashions and so on, we then see what this book is really about, and we then see how relevant it is. It's a little like a true story, I think, of a man standing in Parliament Square looking at his watch and saying, oh, look, that big clock's wrong. Well, you've got to be joking. Big Ben isn't wrong, mate. It's your watch that's wrong. And we're quite good at that sort of thing, you know. I know. God, he's got it wrong. No, the Bible is quite clear. Look at this. These are words you'll know. Honour your father and your mother so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shan't commit adultery, you shan't steal, you shan't give false testimony against your neighbour, you shan't covet your neighbour's house, not covet your neighbour's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. If you were setting up a community today and wanting to set down some guidelines and some rules, how high in the list would that lot be? It'd be right at the top, wouldn't it? It'd be right at the top. If you're going to have a happy community, it's best that you don't go killing each other, pinching each other's wives, stealing other people's goods. This is what God said to Moses all those thousands of years ago? Irrelevant? No way. Terribly relevant. I missed out the first four commandments there, not because they give me a problem of any sort, but they're commandments referring to God. And if people aren't prepared to accept who God is, I just sort of take that out and say, let's look at what was said. That's the reason that is there. You see, this book is God's revelation to man, not man's thoughts about God. It's a very powerful book. Sylvester read earlier on, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writing there saying, this is inspired, it's breathed on by God. It's God's revelation. It's not man's thoughts. This isn't man, lots of men throughout all the years, furiously writing down what they think about God. Yes, man wrote these words. Of course he did. But they're words that came from God. It's God's revelation to man. And just think about that. God's revelation to man, that's relevant, isn't it? Whatever the age might be. God's revelation to man. It conveys knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 2, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Paul also talks about people looking through a glass darkly, not really understanding as they look through the glass. You see, these words are inspired words. I just read a few verses from the testimony of a great man of God. He said, at school, we specialized in scripture, and I passed several times under the skillful teaching of a godly headmaster who grounded us in the generally accepted critical positions. Note that. Grounded us in the generally accepted critical positions of scripture. When I went to university, I was somewhat skeptical about one or two of the Christian doctrines, such as the virgin birth, and certainly had no great faith in the Bible as the word of God. Indeed, I did not realize that anyone, beyond a few cranks, seriously held a conservative view of it. My conversion began through my accidentally attending a Bible reading, which I discovered that the speaker, who was expounding part of one of the epistles, in which I obtained a distinction in the exams, was treating it seriously, treating it as reliable revelation, and not just as Paul's viewpoint. A similar thing happened when I went to see him a few days later. As a result, he led me to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ through pointing me to text after text in the Bible. Immediately, the whole Bible lit up as the Word of God. The whole Bible lit up as the Word of God. And that again is why some people are critical, I think, and say that the Bible is irrelevant. Because their eyes, their mind haven't been opened. That man with the sandwich board, it's when he looked to those verses and God convicted him. God spoke through those verses. And that's what he does constantly. That's why this book is so wonderfully relevant, I believe, in today's world. You see, we were made in the image of God, and therefore I think we're interested, aren't we, in all that God does, the whole creation story, I think is one of great interest to people because we're made that way. We're made that way. Another of my bag of tricks here. Alpha courses. We just heard before that we had a wonderful number of people registering here. Why is it, do you think, if we're talking about irrelevant scripture, an irrelevant book, why do you think that there are currently 35,385 registered Alpha courses in 163 countries around the world? Now just tell me, if this book is irrelevant and is out of date, how come that there are 35,000 courses, not individuals, here's ours has got 30 people involved all over the world. This irrelevant book is a book that people want to know about, because it talks of man and God. It deals with sin and failure. It tells us, well-known verses I'm picking up here, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. And that verse hits home to so many people. We know we've failed, don't we? We know we've failed. Quite what the yardstick is, may not be sure, but we failed. We know we have. Life's a muddle. It's not going as it should. And the great thing about the Bible is, having said all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, just go on a couple of chapters and you find the solution in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Let me just read that verse to you. It's one that many people will know, I suspect. But it's the other side to Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16 is another verse that is so well known. The Bible hits us where it hurts. It hits us in relevant areas. It deals with sin, it deals with failure, but then it gives us the answer. We find in Psalm 127, and it rings bells again with us, doesn't it? Except the Lord builds the house, the labourer, he's working in vain. Without God, who is the controller, he's working in vain. Unless God is with those who are involved in the battle, doesn't matter how bright you are, doesn't matter how strong you are, you'll fail. And there's instances in the Bible where we find that happening, and find it happening constantly. And so I am convinced in my mind that this Bible is far from out of date. This book demonstrates today, and demonstrates very powerfully, when it comes to the inner man. Forget all the trappings, forget the fashions, forget the changes taking place. Just look at man and God. Look at your position and my position as we look at our Creator, and as we realise we have sinned, as we realise we have failed, and we see in this book the revelation that Jesus Christ came to be the one who could relieve us of this burden of sin. And just as we finish, the verse that Sylvester read earlier on, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that, I think, is the final challenge for many of us tonight who do think this Bible, this book, is relevant. We need to be thoroughly equipped. I mentioned earlier, dear Dennis Colby, his Bible knowledge is scary. Absolutely scary. You only need to mention a verse and you think, what is it? And Dennis is away and he's got it. He is thoroughly equipped. And we need to be. We need to be thoroughly equipped in this Word of God if we're going to be able to demonstrate to people today that it isn't out of date, if we're going to be able to pick up relevant verses, equipped to do it, to say, look, that's what the Bible says. It's a great opportunity. It's a great book. And we're going to have a great time as we look the next few weeks at other aspects of the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you gave us this inspired word of yours. Thank you that we have it in our language. Thank you that we can read so much about it from learned people, that we can hear about it. And Father, we ask that we may individually, personally, see the relevance of these God-inspired, God-breathed words in our life. And beyond that, Father, that we may be those who are equipped to take them out to those who probably unthinkingly are talking about this irrelevant book. Father, may their eyes be opened. May they no longer look through it last darkly, but may see you face to face. Father, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.